Footnotes by Sophia Helix. Read by X-Man-Hater. Fandom, The Untamed. Yanli is a diligent correspondent. She writes to her cousins in the mountains, and to disciples who have left for other sects, and to the tutor she had until she was 10, when her mother grew exasperated with the small, weak core it had cost Yanli so much to cultivate, and sent the tutor away. She sends packages of sweets at festival times to the aged mothers of their house servants, and birthday gifts to the children of the families who farm the Jiang states. Her calligraphy is fluid and correct, and even though fewer letters always return than she sends out, it pleases her to sit at her correspondent's desk every morning after breakfast, beginning on the day's letters. There is one letter she can never send. It sits at the top drawer of her desk, never far from her mind. She's written it again and again, tearing up the scraps and holding them to a candle, letting them burn until they're only gray, soft-edged ash, blowing away on the wind. She always starts the letter again the next day. She never addresses it the same way twice. To my esteemed friend, Lady Wen. Fond greetings to Lady Wen. Dear Ah-Ting, my dearest Ah-Sien. Yanli stops, putting the end of the brush between her teeth and gazes out the window. Some days her letters are full of profuse thanks for the kindness of Wen Ting and her brother, polished and formal. Some days she writes polite, affectionate nothings as if they were old schoolfellows, catching up on the latest news of their lives. Yanli has never had a schoolfellow, but she imagines that's how they'd write. The rebuilding of Lotus Pier, the gossip of the cultivation world, her own wedding plans. Some days she writes letters that never mention her wedding at all. Today she writes the greeting and stops. It feels like her heart is a caged bird, climbing higher in her chest, fluttering against her ribs and into her throat. Dearest Ah-Sien. Her words end there. Ah-Cheng was so silent when he returned from the burial mounds. He's often silent, but this was a darker quiet, thrumming with pain that went beyond his injured arm. Yanli saw it in the way he held himself, moving slow like he carried a heavy weight, his jaw set and hard. The injury meant he couldn't throw himself fiercely and recklessly into sword practice or manual labor, so instead he stalked around the grounds at all hours of day and night, shadows beneath his eyes. Yanli thought it made him look more like Ah-Sien, a thought she kept to herself. She came upon him one evening, sitting along the lake shore and ripping apart lotuses with his good hand. Yanli crouched on the ground near him, arms around her knees, letting the train of her robe spread out around her. Neither of them spoke for a long while. The sun sank beneath the trees, turning the world to indistinct outlines of purple and gray, and Jiang Cheng kept throwing shredded lotus leaves and unripe seeds into the lapping waves of the lake. The stars came out in the sky, clear white, burning through the blackness like sparks on velvet.
"She chose him," Ah-Cheng said at last. "When she came to Lanling, half-starved and desperate for help, she sought him out instead of me, and now they're..."
He didn't finish. "She found him in the street," Yanli said gently. There was no other way to be with Ah-Cheng but gentle. "If she'd come to Carp Tower, she would have found you."
"She asked me if I would have helped her,"
Ah-Cheng said, each word sounding full of black and bitter bile.
"I didn't answer, because we both know the truth."
"You would have helped her?" Yanli said. "Maybe not in ASEAN's way, but in your way." Jiang Cheng turned to her, and even in the gloom of twilight she could see the lines of pain in his face, and the terrible look in his eyes, the pleading of a child and the regret of an adult who knows that nothing can make it right.
"I didn't help Wei Wuxian," he said, his voice hoarse and choked. "I didn't help anyone."
In her room now, in the morning light, Yanli thinks about his words again.
"Another."
She wonders what Ah-Cheng thinks he knows and how. She wonders what that place is like, because he wouldn't tell her. And she wonders what Ah-Sien and Wen Ting, about a man and a woman alone in the wilds, cast out by society, and living by wits and magic, all hope for the future gone but what they make. Wen Ting had such beautiful hands, Yanli thinks, and soft, thick hair, and an elegant bearing to her small frame beneath the red robes. Her mouth, her eyes, so much spirit, like a bright candle in a tiny lantern, always watchful and wary. She'll keep them safe, herself and her brother, and now she'll keep Yanli's brother safe too. Her hands, her eyes. Yanli sees them on Ossian in her mind, caring for him, delicate needles in his tender places, making him whole. The hands of a healer, the eyes of a sister. A sister?
And now they're...
Wanting is a possession to Yanli, not an action. She has longing. She does not long. Does not desire. Does not do, outside of what is allowed, what is given. She learned this lesson so long ago, to be happy with the small circle of life inscribed around her.
Sishuan promised to widen that circle. No, to take it away and exchange it for another, larger perhaps and with more dangers, but more joys too. Her circle now is so small. Acheng, the disciples, the grounds of Lotus Pier, her correspondence, her memories.
Not even her memories, Yanli thinks with sudden piercing clarity. Wishes, dreams of what never could have been. Wenting's hands on her, Wenting's eyes, healing of a different sort, sisterhood like she's never known. Wenting's pretty full red mouth.
Yanli takes the brush from between her teeth.
My dearest Ossian, summer has come to Yunmeng, but the boating parties aren't the same without you. The disciples miss you. I miss you. Acho misses you even if he can't show it. I hope your people are taking good care of you, because I know you're taking good care of them. Tell Wenting I think of her often. Tell her I have not forgotten our days in cloud recesses. Tell her...
She stops, the brush tip between her lips once more. Her tongue flicks against it, tasting the tiny lacquered nub. Desire swims before her eyes.
Tell her thank you, and I hope we meet again.
Yanli sets the brush down on the desk, careful with the inky bristles. She looks out the window once more, to where the trees are dressed in dancing green, and there are boats on the lake with young men diving for lotus and fish, small and far away. There is no way to send a letter to them. She's known this all along. Still, she sets this one aside, and this time she does not burn it. The end.